May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when I'm here before I start work, I will come here into the sanctuary to pray, and it is a good place to pray. One morning recently, I was here praying, and I had a vision that Jesus himself was here with me. And thankfully, it wasn't the big Jesus who's come back to judge the living and the dead and separate the sheep and the goats, but it was the normal Jesus who appears in the scriptures as a companion and a friend to the disciples again and again. And so I saw him, and I got up out of my chair, and I didn't really know what to say to him. But I pointed to the bishop's chair, which is, I don't know if you know, the biggest chair up here, and I said, Lord Jesus, you should sit in this chair of honor, because not only is the bishop not here, but it would be wonderful to have you in this place. And he just kind of brushed me off. And so then I said, well, here, Jesus, sit in my chair, because, you know, I am the dean, a very important position. And he just kind of brushed that off, too. And I said, well, what about in the canon seat, or what about in the choir? I imagine he has a great voice, tenor, soprano, not sure. And he didn't want anything to do with that. And I said, maybe the acolytes, he was a little more interested in the acolytes. But basically, he just got up, and this is in my vision. He walked past the altar, past the chairs, right there in the middle of the nave. And he said, this is my place. This is where I sit. And as I've reflected on that, I've come to realize that this was a vision of All Saints, of All Saints Sunday. Because All Saints is about where we sit. And it's about sitting with Jesus. The Feast of All Saints is set aside in our church year to remember all of the saints who've gone before us, whose names, whose lives we don't know, and to acknowledge the presence of the saints who are still with us in our midst. And I think as we think about saints, and we think about all saints in particular, it's extremely important to know, where will Jesus sit? So many times you hear this question, what would Jesus do? But for me, it's so much more interesting to think, well, where is Jesus going to sit? Because Jesus is not in the first class section of the plane. He's back in like section 4, the last one to be boarded. And I picture him in the aisle next to the colicky baby and the person who has to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes. Where Jesus sits is theologically very important. And where Jesus sits is essential for us to understand saints, because it gives us a clue into where God is and how God sees God's self in this world. Because Jesus has made it clear again and again, and it's reflected even in today's gospel, that where Jesus sits, of all the places he could sit, is with the poor. And Jesus sits with those who are hungry now. And Jesus sits with those who are weeping now. And Jesus sits with those who are marginalized and those who are excluded and reviled and defamed, which means you're not going to find Jesus up here in the seats of honor sitting apart from us, but he's going to be down with us as we sit in the nave or wherever we happen to be in the midst of the blessed struggles of our life. So Jesus is sitting in the galley of the slave ship as it comes across the Atlantic, bearing this cargo of people who are scared out of their minds. And Jesus is sitting downstairs in the food that we give every single week to people who are hungry. And Jesus is sitting with those whom we tutor, and the tutors themselves, just as Jesus sits with every single teacher, and he sits with every single caretaker. And Jesus is sitting in refugee camps across the world. And he's sitting in a bunch of 12-step meetings in church basements with people who are drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups. And he's sitting with everyone who's struggling with an addiction. And I'm sure that Jesus right now is sitting with a young man from our cathedral named Carlos Ramos, who's on active duty somewhere in the Middle East in his tent, and wondering every night what's coming at him and how long he's going to be there. But he's sitting with Jesus. And Jesus sits with Carlos's wife, Kayla, and their daughter, who sit right about where BJ and Stanley are. And sometimes I look at Kayla and their daughter, and I could see Jesus sitting with them at the 12:15 service. And Jesus sits with families everywhere as they sit at their kitchen table and say, well, how am I going to pay these bills? Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is literally everywhere. There's no place where he hasn't sat with us or been with us. And we have gone to sit with him. And this is part of what makes us saints. A our participation in the church, our collaboration with this body of Jesus means that we are part of the community of saints, even though, like me, we may not consider ourselves saintly. But listen to what St. Paul writes in the letter to the Ephesians today. He says, I have heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. And he's not talking about the well-known saints like St. Francis or St. Jude, because this is way before St. Francis and St. Jude were born. What Paul is talking about, the love toward all the saints, is the love that Christians have toward each other. He's talking about the anonymous parishioner who you see here on Sunday morning, or the person who's come here occasionally but hasn't come in a while, or the person who's worshiping at St. Michael's, or those who come at the 8 o'clock, or those who come at the 10 o'clock service. He's talking about you and me, St. Paul is, and these average people of faith, and how amazing it is that we're here. St. Paul conceives of sainthood as something that comes not because of our exemplary behavior, but because of the bond we share one with another through Jesus Christ, and the fact that we and saints everywhere and throughout history have chosen to sit with Jesus. We've made this choice. I wish there were a way to make it clear and to emphasize that you are considered a saint, whoever you are, that Christianity and St. Paul consider you a saint, not because of something you've done, some amazing ability you have, some miracle you've performed, or the fact that you are living a sinless life, but that you have chosen to sit with Jesus. You have chosen in your home to sit with Jesus. You have chosen in your prayers to sit with Jesus. You have chosen in practicing justice and extreme inclusion to sit with Jesus. And in making a donation to the church and setting aside some of your resources, what you're really doing is choosing to sit with Jesus. It is this participation in community which is recognized as All Saints Sunday. And so I want you to know that you have made it to sainthood. Congratulations. Look how beautiful the saints are. But what kind of saint we are is really up to us. Because Jesus still extends to us the invitation to do more. The fact that we are here makes us saints, but it's really up to us to determine exactly what kind of saints we will be. How are we going to sit with him? Agnes Johnson, whom June mentioned, who was June's housemate, who died recently, was a particular kind of saint. And when you look at Aggie's life over her 90 plus years and think about all that she did in the church, the boards she sat on, the countless boring meetings that she sat through, the way she worked and served the altar, served the community, all of those things are important, but that's not what makes her a saint. For me, in my mind, what makes Aggie a saint is something that happened the last time I went to see her in the hospital. I got there at Bay State, and Roland, another one of our saints, was there, Roland Holstead. And I went up to Aggie and I talked to her and I did what I do. I laid my hands on her and prayed for her and offered thanksgiving to God for her life. And my bit was done. And then Aggie did something that was so profound. She turned to me and she said, "And how are you? How's your family?" Which is what she does, which is what she did to everyone. And she asked it in a way that showed me how much she cared. And I thought that that was amazing. And because she was a good and active and decent person who genuinely cared for everyone else as much as she cared for herself. And even in the midst of illness, in her last week of life, she would ask you how your family's doing. That's a particular kind of saint. And when I grow up, I want to be Aggie Johnson. Another person who I think of when I think of the saints is Bill Dwyer. And for those who don't know Bill, Bill was an Episcopal priest here at the cathedral in our diocese. He was Taco's husband and Joy's father. And Bill was the priest who effectively brought the Hispanic Latino ministries to Christ Church Cathedral. And if you knew Bill, you knew what kind of a saint he was, that he was a good and decent and caring and justice-loving person who I would never see sitting up here, but down there amidst the community. But what assures me of Bill's sainthood is not the things I knew about him or I saw about him, but what assures me of his sainthood is the way that people still talk about him. Because when they talk about Father Dwyer, they do so in hushed tones of reverence, as if they were talking about one of the saints. They say his name with a holiness that comes from a recollection of how he was with them in the hospital, and how he celebrated with them in their homes, and how he helped in their joys of their life and in the struggles and the things that he did again and again, even while no one else was looking, to make real and alive the presence of Jesus Christ. And you cannot see Bill sitting in the seat of honor, but in the pews. And people remember that, and it made a difference. So when I grow up, I want to be like Bill Dwyer. It's more than enough for us to come to church and to worship and to sit with Jesus. It's enough to make us saints. But exactly what kind of saints we are is up to us to decide. So my advice is this. Let's be saints who make a difference in people's lives. Let's be saints who they talk about in years to come in reverential tones as people who showed them love, as people who took the time to ask about their families, as people who cared for them when they were in need and who were there to lend a hand and who did the right thing. Let's be saints who show people what Jesus Christ looks like and where exactly Jesus Christ sits. Amen.